Parashat Vayera, which we read but a few weeks ago, the Torah recounts that to test Avraham's faith in him, God directed Avraham to take his beloved son Yitzchak to the place that I will show you, and which would ultimately become known as Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, and there to sacrifice him. Avraham's hand is stayed at the last minute, but from then on, Har Moriah, the Temple Mount, came to symbolize for the Jews the supreme embodiment of their relationship with God. In concentric circles leading out from the mount is the city of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, the historic and eternal homeland of the Jewish people. Whether one is a believer or not, the multi-millennial relationship of the Jewish people with Jerusalem is undeniable and is borne out by sacred writings, observations of historians such as Josephus and the many who have followed him, and of course, the archaeological record that entitles us today to walk on the same streets trodden by the ancient Israelites in our ancient homeland. It is the most visceral of relationships. It is reflected in Psalm 137 that is recited at the conclusion of the Jewish wedding ceremony. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, tidbak leshoni lechiki, im lo ezkerechi, im lo aale et Yerushalayim, al rosh simchati. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, take my right hand. Render me speechless. If I don't remember her, if I do not set Jerusalem above my personal joy. In that context, one can readily understand the decision by the World Zionist Movement to name its highest honour, the Jerusalem Prize, which will soon be bestowed on my dear friend and our honoured guest, Philip Chester, a man who has, as he says it, Zionism in his DNA. Former winners of the Jerusalem Prize include the late Sir Zelman Cowan, former Governor General of Australia, Prime Minister John Howard, Prime Minister Julia Gillard, and Foreign Minister Alexander Downer, and closer to home, communal stalwarts Sol Same AM, Sam Lipsky AM, and Michael Danby MP, who is represented tonight by Josh Burns, the Labor candidate for Caulfield. Philip's communal CV starts at the age of 6. I won't take you through it day by day. When he joined Beitar, he rose to be head of Beitar of Melbourne in 1976 and head of Beitar Australia in 1977. During his university career, he rapidly rose through the ranks of Orgis, first as Israel Zionist Affairs Officer, and then as President and an executive member of the World Union of Jewish Students. We graduated law school together in late 1980, and I headed off to articles with a communal career some years off, not Philip. He joined the ZCV as an executive member in 1982 and served there for 16 years before becoming president in 1998. He became a member of the ZFA executive in 1983, where he served till 1988, and then joined the ZFA again in 2003, the same year he was awarded the Centenary Medal by the Australian Government for his community service. In 2005, Philip coordinated the visit of the then President of Israel, Moshe Katsav, and did so with the eye to detail that is the hallmark of all that he does. As one member of the community remarked, he is focused, bright, decent, and has no ego. From 2006 to 2014, Philip was the President of the Zionist Federation of Australia, and from 2010, I had the honour to serve as his Vice President, where I had the opportunity to observe his selfless dedication to the community and to Israel firsthand. When Philip retired from the ZFA earlier this year, his reputation and hard work were honoured by a visit by the head of the Jewish agency, Natan Sharansky, who came to Australia primarily to pay tribute to Philip. The video presentation that was made at his farewell dinner gave voice and vision to the highest regard in which Philip is held by the likes of Prime Minister Netanyahu, Speaker of the Knesset Yuli Edelstein, Javier Knesset Ruth Calderon, former Ambassador to Israel Yuval Rotem, and who can ever forget that kiss picture on the front of the Jewish News, and other Chavrei Knesset and leaders of Israel and the Jewish people. I watched Philip work the room at the King David Hotel a few years ago when we were there for a presentation of award to Mark Liebler, his partner. Watching Philip talk to the Chavrei Knesset at that time, mixing so easily with the senior political leaders of Israel of both sides of politics, was truly a lesson in observing how deeply he penetrated into the psyche of Israeli society, let alone as a leader of Australian Zionist Jewry. As a lawyer, Philip is an exceptionally regarded lawyer. He's a partner, senior partner at Arnold Bloch Leibler, and to Arnold Bloch Leibler and all of its partners, I would like to also pay thanks for the extraordinary work that the firm does in supporting the Jewish community generally, the Zionist Council in particular, with invaluable and very, very high quality legal advice on any issue that confronts us as we go about our day-to-day business. We could not, I don't believe this community could function as it does without the assistance of ABL and its partners and lawyers. What more could one possibly add in order to elucidate the reasons why the Zionist Council of Victoria, together with the ZFA and the World Zionist Organisation, have the greatest of pleasure in awarding the Jerusalem Prize to Philip Chester? Can I ask you, Philip, together with Dr. Danny Lamb and Ambassador Shmuel Ben Shmuel, to join me as we present you with the Jerusalem Prize of 2014. I'll read the dedication on the plaque. World Zionist Organisation, the logo of the Zionist Federation of Australia and the Zionist Council of Victoria, Department for Diaspora Activities. Jerusalem Prize 2014, awarded to Philip Chester in recognition of an extraordinary record of dedicated service to the Zionist movement in Australia, 18th November 2014, Chof Hei Cheshvan 5775. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now my pleasure to invite Philip to the microphone to address us.
Sam checked my CV extremely well. I'm impressed, Sam. There was a lot of detail there, some of which I'd actually forgotten. But you've been with me for a long time as colleagues in law school and in the community, so I'm very grateful for those warm words. Thank you very much. Dear friends, I feel humbled by the great honour that the World Zionist Organisation, the Zionist Federation of Australia, and the State Zionist Council, the Zionist Council of Victoria, sorry, in my time it was the State Zionist Council, have bestowed on me by awarding me with the prestigious Jerusalem Prize. To be receiving this award that has previously been presented to luminaries like Bob Hawke, John Howard, Julia Gillard, Alexander Downer, Sir Zelman Cowan and Mark Leibler is rather daunting, to put it mildly. But what makes it so special is that my Zionist colleagues, both here and in Israel, with whom I've worked so closely for so long in the movement, have decided to honour me in this way. To be honest, I still haven't quite come down from the high I was on when I was farewelled as Zionist Federation President last March after 8 years, with very kind speeches by Mark, Sam Lipsky and Sam Tataka, and by that show-stopping set of very personal video greetings that Sam just referred to, from Bibi Netanyahu, Buzi Herzog, Rav Benny Lau, Yuli Edelstein and Ruth Calderon, amongst others, which Jeanette Searle, who's sitting over there, and Yigal Sella organised as a very well-kept secret that left me speechless for probably the first time in my whole communal life, and which I will always treasure. On this special evening, as I reflect on my Jewish communal experience, starting in Beitar, as Sam mentioned, at the tender age of 6, eventually going on to leading Beitar Australia, then moving on to Orgis, which I was also privileged to be elected national president of, then moving on to the State Zionist Council when I was president for 4 years, and ultimately leading the ZFA for 8 years, I realised that the effect it had on my life is a testament to our outstanding Zionist movement here in Australia. I never attended a Jewish school or spent much time in a shul growing up. So Beitar was where I learnt the Shabbat prayers and was first exposed to Jewish history, Hebrew, Zionism and Israel. Orges then gave me the opportunity to go to Israel on numerous occasions and to rub shoulders with the leaders of our community, as well as, most importantly, enabling me to meet my future wife, Ilana. All of these experiences inspired me to learn more about our heritage and the seminal role of Israel in Jewish life, and motivated me to become more deeply involved in many aspects of our community through the Zionist movement. For me, and I'd venture to say many others in this room tonight, the Zionist movement and its great institutions, like our Zionist youth movements, Orges, our Israeli fundraisers, women's organizations, political and religious bodies, and schools, to name just a few, have largely defined and ensured our Jewish identity and those of our children and grandchildren. This, of course, as Yaron put it very well, and Shmuel, was the dream of the Zionist movement, to create the State of Israel and in so doing transform and secure Jewish life everywhere. I truly believe from my own experiences and those of my wife and kids that this is what it has done for the Australian Jewish community so successfully. As all of you know only too well, communal life can be an all-consuming and at times a quite stressful pastime. However, when I look back over my many years of involvement, I have so many personal highlights that I'm proud of, like the multitude of rallies we held over the years when so many of our community came out to support Israel at difficult times. Coming together in large numbers as one unified community at Beth Weitzman to watch Gilad Shalit finally being released. The Shnat movement farewells at the airport each year when I spoke to our best young future leaders as they excitedly embarked on the year of growth in Israel and their parents cried. Participating in so many youth movement and student programs with their leadership and witnessing their passion for Israel and Jewish causes. Hosting many of Israel's top leaders, educators, academics and rabbis, all of whom were so impressed with our Australian Jewish community. Speaking at the historic federal parliamentary resolution on Israel's 60th Yom HaTzmaut in Canberra. Establishing a tribe of the Israeli scouts for Hebrew-speaking youth, bringing our first shlicha, who's here somewhere tonight, Sasha, for the Russian-speaking community, and sending our Kangaruski birthright groups, and finally witnessing the giving of mezuzot, as you saw here tonight, to our olim, just before they leave Australia to fulfill the highest goal of our movement. There were, of course, also some difficult personal challenges, like the Dubai passport affair, when Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, Foreign Minister Stephen Smith, and nearly every media outlet in Australia was lined up against us. We didn't actually know what had really happened, and no one in Israel was going to tell us. Visiting Noam and Aviva Shalit at their tent in Jerusalem before they knew Gilad was coming home, and not knowing how to comfort them. Visiting the family of Ehud Goldwasser, after he was kidnapped and eventually killed in Lebanon, which started the Second Lebanon War, you may remember, and then bringing his father, Shlomo, to Australia on a very emotional speaking tour, and the terribly sad Prisoner X affair, which precipitated some very nasty public allegations of dual loyalty directed at our community. The truth, though, is that even when I had concerns over certain aspects of things that Israel may have done, what always drove me to defend her to the best of my ability was my fundamental belief that although Israel makes mistakes, the cause is right and her people are moral. And I know this not just as a slogan, but because our eldest son David is one of Israel's elite soldiers and we brought him up to always behave in an ethical and compassionate way, even when having to defend Israel in a difficult situation. And I know that his training reinforced this. On a cautionary note, I do worry about the long-term sustainability of our later leadership model, which, although it has served the Australian Jewish community so well up to now, compared with the US model, where professionals run and lead the major community organisations. It is true that someone always seems to step up to the plate, but committed as all of our honorary leaders in the Zionist movement are, I wonder whether we can realistically expect the next generation to have the time, resources, work flexibility, and most importantly, the interest to attend the numerous meetings, conferences and events and deal with all sorts of political and bureaucratic issues that I and other senior leaders have done in an honorary capacity. The key, I believe, is to focus on, nurture and support our younger leaders to stay involved in communal life. This was always a key priority of mine, as it was for great communal leaders like Bob Zablud, Sam Liske, Isidore Magid and Mark Liebler did in placing their faith in me at the formative stage of my communal career. I've always made it a point to engage and acknowledge youth movement and student leaders as much as possible, not because it's a popular slogan, but because without their progression, our wonderful community will eventually suffer. Despite what we hear about the apathy and selfishness of Gen Y, there are undoubtedly many talented and passionate younger members of our community who want to be involved in Jewish and Zionist life if we are prepared to let them. We must understand, though, that they may look at Israel, Jewish life, and the world in different ways to us, and that simply asking them to join our committees and do what we tell them will not wash, because that's not how they want to contribute. If, however, we are prepared to give them meaningful responsibility, even if we may think they are a little young, you'll see how they'll rise to the challenge. This, in fact, is how many of the best leaders we've had started their communal careers. I do not, however, fear for the longevity and continued prosperity of our Zionist movement in general, because apart from all of the committed people working in it, all of my personal experiences tell me that Israel is the key to Jewish continuity and engagement in our community, and more people want to immerse themselves in an Israeli experience and build connections with the people of Israel. And that means the Zionist movement will continue to be central and critically relevant to everything of significance in Australian Jewish life. As I said at my ZFA's farewell speech in March this year, Ilana and others kept telling me that I wouldn't know what to do with an extra 30 hours or so a week to myself. But slowing down a little didn't sound like a bad idea. Many people had also been asking me what my next communal position would be. Well, some 8 months later, although I'm still involved in plenty of things at the ZFA as immediate past president, which I'm, of course, happy to do, I'm enjoying riding my bike a little more, being able to take my son Joel to Brazil for the World Cup and take a short trip with Ilana to China, as well as concentrate a little more on legal practice. Who knows what the future will bring, but for now I'm content to let others occupy centre stage in communal life, allowing me to engage in that great Jewish pastime of giving plenty of free advice without assuming any responsibility for it. In conclusion, I'd like to acknowledge and thank a number of people. First, to Avraham Dov Devani, chairman of the WZO, and Gusti Yehoshua Braverman, head of the overseas desk of the WZO, for agreeing to confer the Jerusalem Prize on me. To Dr. Danny Lamb, president of the ZFA, Sam Tataka, president of the Zionist Council of Victoria, and their executives, for deciding to recommend me for this award. To all of my colleagues in the Zionist movement who give so much of their time and hearts to supporting Israel and connecting it with our community. To my friends here on the left who have come specially tonight to honour me, for which I'm grateful. To my mum, my mother-in-law Doreen, my brother Louis, Miriam and their whole clan who are also here in force. And last but most importantly, to my own family, my dear wife and closest friend Ilana, our daughter Naomi and husband Yehuda, our little son Joel, who are here, and of course our big boy David, who realised the highest aim of our movement when he made Aliyah, yes, almost 7 years ago, who have not only supported me on this great journey, but I'm very proud to tell you, share my love of Israel and all that Zionism stands for. Although there are many things as a Zionist leader that I didn't get to do, that I could certainly have done better, I feel I've given the Zionist movement absolutely everything of my life that I possibly could. It has been an absolute privilege to serve this great cause, and I have no doubt that I've gained much more from the experience than I have given. I thank you all for being part of this most memorable event for me.